Joining us now is Tony Leo. And I mentioned he's the political action chair of the GM, I'm going to call it the GM local. Every time I say the numbers, I get the wrong one. Tony, welcome.
I feel good to be here. It's local 222. It does represent the workers at GM in Oshawa, but our local also represents workers at 25 other units in the Oshawa area.
Mm-hmm. Now, we interviewed you some time back, and not so long ago, and it was very interesting. And something I really want to drive home to listeners is the importance of doing politics, getting engaged on behalf of workers, organized workers and unorganized, in a political way. And there is a strike, I don't know if it's still going on, at Local 6500 steelworkers in Sudbury. I believe the company is Vale of Brazil. I want to call it Inco, but it's Vale. Anyway. Now, that's a very important part of Ontario labor and a very important industry. And it turns out that in the core of that fight is an issue that you've been addressing, Tony. And it's problems with what we call the tier system. So talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Sure. The strike is still going on. The workers there actually rejected a tentative agreement that was presented to them. And one of the main reasons they rejected it is that it would introduce a provision that anybody newly hired at that company would get no benefits when they retired. So it would be expanding the tier system. No health care benefits, which are an important part of workers' collective agreement, of course.
I've been following the leader, Jerry Diaz of Unifor, and other union leaders who want to go to South America and see to it that workers are protected down there. And they want to look over the shoulders of your, and they really want those workers in Mexico and further south to have the same things we have. So you just told me no pension?
No, not they would have a pension, but no benefits.
No benefits.
No related benefits. So most good collective agreements provide some protection for workers after they retire. So a pension, but also continuing health care and related benefits, dental benefits, prescription drug benefits, things that are not covered by our vaunted but not very comprehensive government healthcare system. And so workers have to try to negotiate that those benefits will be available to them after they retire when they're not earning a wage. And what Vale wants to do, the company that bought Inco, is provide no such benefits to workers after they retire. There was also a whole list of concessions they're trying to impose. They want to impose a 5-year contract with wage increases of 0.5% for each of the first 3 years, and then 1% a year after that, so far less than inflation. They want to reduce the benefits that everybody gets. They want to take away coverage of over-the-counter medication, so the workers will have to pay for that themselves. And in terms of this tiering, this idea of introducing, driving down wages and driving down benefits, the key wedge that corporations have been using is this tier system. By making the brunt of the cuts apply to workers that haven't been hired yet, they think that the workers who are there now will feel like, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. I guess, it's not so bad. But it creates immense division. It creates huge division and bitterness within the workplace, because you end up with some workers earning more money than others, Some workers having pensions and other workers not having pensions.
It's as old as, by the way, divide and rule, right? I mean,
it is. It's divide and rule, but it's
a uniting idea is always same work, same pay.
It's a very dirty, destructive way to do it. And what is most distressing is when we see some union leadership going along with it. And I would have to say that the national leadership of Unifor, my union, has been leading the way in this destructive practice. In the auto industry, and I worked for General Motors for 39 and a half years, an immensely profitable corporation, especially in the last dozen years. And in that period of time, our union has accepted unequal pay for doing the same job, the whole tier system. And so new hires get just over 60% of what the going rate is for doing the same job. I mean, this is something that is unimaginable, would have been unimaginable to the people that founded the industrial unions in North America in the 1930s, because then the idea was you fight for all the workers to have equal wages, for everybody to have a pension, for everybody to have healthcare benefits. That's what it was all about. And now we have a system where the people who have been there longer get more, and the people who are going to get hired get far less. It's so destructive. And
can I ask you, when did this trend start? Is it 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s? When did this kind of kick in? Because it seems to be, now I notice, there are several strikes in the city. Nestle had a strike, and that was an issue. There was an SEIU strike at the moment I'm aware of. And again, I see this matter coming up. Was this part of what they call neoliberalism or the New World Order or what? When did this start coming in?
It's actually more recent than that, at least in the auto industry. It began around the time that GM and Chrysler were in financial difficulty. And they used that as the excuse to impose some of these cuts. But when they returned to profitability, they actually expanded them. So in Canada, it was not 2009. In 2009, some of this was introduced. But that they didn't eliminate the defined benefit pension in 2009. They eliminated that in 2016, after GM had been back making immense profits for 6 years.
They're not on their side of the class fence. They don't give things up when they get them.
No. They went through a bad patch, and now they're making out like bandits. And part of what the profits that they're making are from forcing the newly hired workers to work for far less, doing the same jobs, generating the same profits. And once Unifor agreed to that in the auto industry, which was always the flagship, always the place where collective bargaining gains were made first, and it became the pattern for other places, to match the pattern. Well, once you start introducing these takeaways in the leading industry, of course, it spreads like a cancer. It spreads like a virus, I guess I should say, these days.
Yeah, well, the problem is, that once a concession is made in one part of an industry or even in the country, the management comes and looks across the table and they said, hey, those guys over there, they understand. And we want you to understand. And it gets to be kind of a problem.
But workers are opposing it, which is, I guess, the good sign. Although in lots of cases, they have to oppose it by rejecting contracts that are brought to them. But at least that's a start. We should be recognizing that workers in Quebec are not facing this same particular destructive tier system because the labor movement in Quebec fought for legislation that makes it illegal. It's illegal in Quebec for companies to try to impose worse wages or worse benefits or worse pensions on workers just based on the date that they're hired. It's illegal because the labor movement fought for that as a basic principle of justice. And we ought to be emulating the Quebec labor movement, which to begin with means we should be talking more about it. I haven't noticed any of our labor leadership saying, hey, look what they did in Quebec. That's what we should get.
Yes.
But that's what we should be doing. And that is the issue in the strike of the workers at Vale, who, by the way, went through a strike for a year in 2009, 2010. They were on strike for a year fighting this Brazilian-based multinational corporation. The Nestle workers that you mentioned, I was down on the picket line supporting them because they had exactly the same tier system imposed on them, and they were fighting to get rid of it. And one of the workers I talked to there told me that she had been on strike 8 times. So that's a local where they were really prepared to fight, which means going on strike. They fought for pension increases for the senior workers, and they fought to bring all of the second tier workers up to equal pay, and they won that strike. They got that. All of those workers will be up to equal pay within 3 years. Yeah. So clearly part of the answer here is workers being prepared to fight, support each other, build solidarity, but we need a strategy of the labor movement. Unions should be supporting each other on these issues because it is affecting everybody. We should be developing a strategy to take it on. We should be having more strikes. We should be supporting each other when we go on strike. Yeah. And leadership of Unifor, unfortunately, is far more interested in making deals with corporations and being buddy-buddy with the corporate executives than they are on taking on these issues and fighting to get rid of this really destructive system.
Yeah. Speaking of Tony Leo, GM Oshawa, Political Action Committee Chairman, you know, look at the history. It's interesting. We had a brief social democratic, so-called, government. NDP got in power in Ontario, and they did bring in legislation, and including anti-scab laws. And there was a parallel because Quebec had done this. In both instances, the word was social democratic government. Look, in Ontario, what happened, Ray went out, he failed to fight on some of the, he decided to take away from labor, see what he could take from them in order to weather a political storm. And he's gone on down the road and become a liberal. And he's now in the United Nations where he belongs. Wonderful. And in Quebec, they had the Social Democratic government, that was the Parti Québécois. They went out, but they had sufficient resilience that they didn't lose those laws. They have anti-scab legislation too, of course. They didn't lose it, and they haven't lost this.
No, I think that it's very clear that no government has dared to take on the Quebec labor movement to try to take away the anti-scab legislation and the RAND formula legislation that was won primarily as a result of the 2-year strike by workers at United Aircraft, including occupying the plant back in 1974-75. The labor movement there is prepared to fight, and governments have not done it. And in fact, in Quebec, they've expanded those rights, not seen them taken away. So that's should be our model. That should be, our example of what can be done.
Yeah, and it just underlines that having a mutual respect between workers and of all ethnicities and all languages and religions, etc., mutual respect, a desire for solidarity, and a desire also to put political issues, put labor issues on the political agenda. And we should be honest to say that this is, frankly, the history of Canada involves this rift that is always being worked at by the capitalist classes, frankly, of Canada, to make us not hear or know that this that labor legislation in an adjoining province is very advanced, and we could have it here, and we should be able to loudly and confidently say they won that and we want that. We respect what they did. Instead of saying, I we don't want to hear about Quebec because somehow, what, they're different? workers all over the world speak different languages. But it's you have to hand it to the capitalist class. They've been very good at this, sealing us off from each other. I know that there's a Canadian Labour Congress everybody meets, but, you know, it's sort of at the top. It is not encouraged at the rank and file level. Well, Tony, it's a great, we got to find ways to keep saying, yes, fight for the workers' rights, whether you're organized, unorganized, but also make it in a political way and try to force people who want votes to respect labor and to say, well, what would you like? And we should say, we want what they've got. We want a no-tier system. And we want our no-scab laws back, by the way. Tony, thanks very much. This is CIOT 89.5 FM, the Taylor Report.